Welcome to today's Mom Mentor episode, where we learn from other Christian moms who encourage us to become like Christ and share Him with others, particularly with our families. To participate in the conversation, join us live in the Facebook group on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Christy Thomas. Now, on to our interview. Hi, Hope, Go, and Faith. Welcome to another episode of Monday Mentor. I'm so excited to have you here, and I'm very excited to have Tara Cole with me here today. You might recognize her. She's our prayer warrior in Hope, Go, and Faith, and I'm going to interview her today, so you get to hear from her about her life and her spiritual journey and her marriage and her kids. So this is a tell-all episode. All right, Tara, I'm going to flip the screen over to you, and how about you introduce yourself a little bit more to the group?
Hi, I'm Tara Cole. I am have been married to Jeremy for, 17, almost 18 years this December. We have three boys. We have Ethan, Liam, and Luke, who are almost 10, 8, and 5. And so they keep me really busy. I also have a day job as a professor at a local university, as well as I love to write and encourage moms myself, and then I help Christy with Hope, Grow, and Faith.
Yay, and I'm so glad you do. This has been new and wonderful to have some help.
Yes.
I love it. So, Tara, tell us a little bit about how your spiritual journey has gone, maybe a little bit about, you know, your past and how you've connected with God, and then what you've learned about connecting with God and what He's shown you. I know that you have a book that's just about to come out, so tell us a little bit about that too, because it's very pertinent.
All right. Well, I, like some of you, I grew up in a Christian household, so I have been a Christian since I was 7 years old. I did the whole I'm becoming a Christian tonight thing, and I'm not going to bed until I do. And so I've been a Christian since I was 7, but I didn't really, like most child Christians, didn't really start strengthening my faith till my late teen years. And that's when my mom really started helping me develop my own faith. So my dad was a preacher, but not really involved in our faith formation personally. But my mom, really her best example, and this is why encouraging moms is so important to me, is that she just got up every morning with her Bible and her coffee and would do her quiet time. And I actually learned later on that she didn't start that till I was like 8 years old. But it is really my my strongest memory of her throughout our life. And so even though our life was kind of crazy and my dad was not a nice person all the time, her showing where she got her strength from really helped all three of us grow up to be strong Christians eventually. And then in my teen years, she started working to get me in my own habits and routine of spending time with them. I still remember the devotionals she read us. I think it was called, I can see the cover, but I can't remember the name. Little Moments with God or something like that. Mm-hmm. Was a devotional she read us periodically growing up. But really, she said she took that Deuteronomy verses, I think it's 6:9, literally. So the paint it on the doors, talk about it on the way. And so we had videos and video games and t-shirts and pencils and all the things. She kind of surrounded us with Jesus. And that's what I try to do for my own family. So my own looks like, for me personally, I do quiet time. I use the Pray the Word journal. You might have heard some of us mention. I have my devotional books and my Bible time. And so I have my own quiet time in the morning, and I have kind of I call it my abide bag is what I call it, because it has like my Bible in it and my pens and a few devotionals. And so if I have time for a longer quiet time, then I have a little bit longer devotionals I might do. But if I have 5 minutes, I have a stack there of some of my favorite 5 minute ones I just grab and read through. And it's kind of fun because I like to date those pages so I can see like, I read this a year and a half ago. I read this Latin 2 years ago. And so I just kind of am prepared for whether I have a short or a long time. I also do lots of worship music and things like that to abide in Jesus throughout my day. And I kind of go with what my mom did with my own kids, is taking all that literally, where they have a few t-shirts, but mostly just integrating Christ into our days. And that's really what my book is about. It's called Abide, 40 Ways to Focus on Jesus Daily. And it's really just 40 different ways to spend time with Jesus throughout your day, because church is great. It's a great way to find community. Having quiet time in the mornings is awesome, but some seasons of life just don't allow for that. When you have newborns, or when you have a crazy schedule, or sometimes when the school year starts, or if you have to work long hours at your job. But there are still ways to really deepen your relationship with God, even throughout your days. It's like putting down multiple roots, like that Psalms 1:1-2 talks about how the trees by the river waters and it has multiple roots. When you look at those pictures, you have all these roots. You don't just have one or two, like church and quiet time. You have many roots sinking into that riverbank.
Ooh, and okay, so, hold on a sec. That's like brilliant. I've never thought about it like that before, that a tree needs more than one root and we need more than one access point to God. Wow.
I really just came out to me this week. So I was really thinking, okay, how can I make this a strong visual? And so I'm pretty sure it's Psalms 1:1-2. Yeah. I'll kind of look it up while I'm talking. But three. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord, and all the law he meditates day and night. So all throughout his day. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. And so really, this kind of did last few weeks. God's given me this visual of, well, that tree doesn't just have two roots. It has many little roots. And so that's really what Abide is giving you many little roots throughout your day to really dig into the soil, dig into your foundation. So when the storms do come, you'll have that strong rooted system and that strong foundation. And that's really what Abide is about. It has ideas for practical ideas. These aren't theological, oh, someday, but really practical ways to get you spending time with Jesus now. They take maybe 5 minutes to read most of them, and then have about the activities will be about 5 to 10 minutes. You could spend longer if you wanted to. And then there's appendix in the back that has ideas for your kids too. So every single one of them has kid ideas with it. And I love resources. I'm crazy about them. And so there's resources for a lot of them, and a whole resources section in the back that lays them all out for you if you're having trouble finding one of the ones I recommended in the book.
It's really fantastic. And it's good to know as moms that, you know, I used to do it like a, you know, 30-minute, sometimes 60-minute quiet time too. And I really struggled with that when my first baby was born.
I thought, me too.
I can't even read the Bible without falling asleep. I'm a terrible Christian. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. And I'm not going to be able to follow God. But really, God has kind of shown me this very similar thing, that we connect with God in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about sitting down and doing an inductive Bible study all the time.
Right.
Nothing wrong with those. But, and some people never connect with inductive Bible studies, which is the point of the Sacred Pathways, which if you guys have been doing the Sacred Pathways ideas, Tara is the one that helped me with that too. So
that was a lot of fun. I learned a lot from that.
Me too. writing a book, you learn a lot.
Yes, you do.
So, okay, so let's talk about if there's a, you know, one or two little habits that you do regularly with your kids. Like, for me, it's blessing my kids every night and then doing a little Bible study in the mornings at the breakfast table. That would be the most important things for us. How about you?
All right. I guess there's probably three things I do. I do the blessings challenge. I think I did that with you 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we still actually, some of them have fallen off the wall. We still even have those original printouts on some of my boys' rooms walls from the original one. And I still do, I can't remember the verses. I think it's in Corinthians, but the one about, may Christ make his home in your heart. That's the one for my oldest son. And then, we do be strong and courageous for my youngest. And then I did some from Psalms 33 and 34 for my middle son. But I say those every night to them, and they come, Mom, you forgot our blessings. If they're not getting ready for bed, then I go to bed without waiting on them. So we do the blessings, and that was a really good foundation. Because there's just seasons in life when you have to go to the lowest common denominator. Like, I had two foot surgeries last summer. So, well, not summer 2019, but summer of 2018. I had two foot surgeries, and I was not firing on all cylinders. But the blessings nightly just really gave us a lowest common denominator, a way to keep doing those patterns without me spending 10 or 15 or 30 minutes that I didn't have the mental capability for with two surgeries. So that was really helpful. But on top of that, I drive them to school every day. I do not have time for a morning or consistent around the breakfast table thing like I used to. And so we actually do the Keys for Kids podcast because of the ages my kids are. I think Keys for Kids has materials for older kids too. The Bible Project, if you have older kids, would have also has good podcasts and things like that. But we do the Keys for Kids podcast. And then, and some of my, on the way to school, My sons also have started requesting that the YouVersion Bible app has videos. And so they've started requesting I play one of those on the way to school. And so if you have both kids, that's another good one. I try not to watch them, but just put it where they can see it on my phone.
We were just watching the Bible.
Yep. And then we pray on the way to school. That's actually something that came from one of my online friends probably 3 or 4 years ago is praying with her kids on the way to school. And so I just say, oh, what day is it? And, oh, it's Monday. It's Ethan's turn to pray first. And because you have to have the first, second, third. You got to take turns. But we go by days. It's somebody's day to pray first, and then they'll pray first, and then we all pray. And I pray with them because, and I was doing that, but I didn't realize that all my friends didn't grow up with a mom who prayed with her kids. And so I pray for them too, and sometimes I purposely model prayer. Sometimes I pray specifically for problems they're having. I try to remember to thank God for things that we prayed for previously. I kind of slip in some teaching there in the middle of prayers. It's a good way to kind of lead by example.
So how long is your drive to school?
It is 12 minutes because we've been driving it for 6 years.
So this is not like a super long prayer time that you're doing with your kids. It's just really short, like probably not that long.
We head out of the driveway. I'll say, what kids' day is it to pray first? And they do probably a 10-second prayer most days. Mm-hmm. And then the next kid prays. Because, I mean, we've been doing this for 5 years now. Yeah. And then I'll say a prayer to cap it all off to show them going last isn't a bad thing. And then the Keys for Kids takes maybe 4.5 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we even listen to church music sometimes on the way. Or maybe the Keys for Kids will bring up a good teaching moment. Or something they're struggling with or something that connects. And so I'll just use that as a teaching talking moment too. Mm-hmm. But
okay. So I have a question for you. Okay. So praying with my kids is something that it doesn't come very naturally to us. I have, especially, you know, a couple kids are just like, I don't want to pray. Like, I don't want to say things out loud. Mm-hmm. They feel awkward about it. I know part of that is just kind of pushing through and getting used to it. But do you have any suggestions for moms who would like to do this? Maybe moms like me that, we just don't really know where to start or how to get past that awkwardness. Like, I can't force my kids to pray, right? And if they refuse to pray, do you just let them not pray? I don't know.
I do. Tell me some secrets. Actually, my Ethan probably refused to pray for like, or didn't want to pray. Because I always ask him, Ethan, it's your time to pray first. Do you want to pray? And so I always give them the option. And probably for 6 months to a year, he said no every single day. And so I just let him say no. Because I figured he got something out of listening to the rest of us pray. And he could hear us praying for him. He knew the importance of it. So I actually just let him say no. Sometimes now they'll be having a bad day or they didn't get into the car as nicely. And so we had some conflict. And they're in a bad mood and don't want to pray. Or else they'll pray in grumbly voices. And so I try to remember, I remind them, God will take you any way he can have you. Well, I'm too mad to pray. I'm too tired to pray. I don't feel like praying. Well, I'm like, well, God, he's fine. He'll take you however he can have you. Or they want to pray under their breath or something like that. Mm-hmm. So unless it's just flat out disrespectful, I pretty much encourage all the things and encourage them to come to God however they are. So if I can't remember if I did this with Ethan, but maybe say, oh, well, you can pray in your head to just him. And so do you want to just pray in your head to God for a moment and then tell us when you're done or something like that. Mm-hmm. But really, I just never pushed him. And then now he's back to praying with us. And so it's not that big of a deal, but they all kind of go, most of them have gone through seasons like that. Mm-hmm. And so I just let it go. Cause I figured, my goal is to model that relationship and not to ever make a relationship with God something that's in conflict or they have to do it. I do the same thing with Bible quiet time in the morning. I model it for them, and now that they're getting older, sometimes they don't always want to join me, or I use the YouVersion Bible app for kids, and so that was something they liked when they were little, but now they're kind of growing out of, and they do like the videos on the big kid one, but some mornings they just don't want to do quiet time with me, so I might sneak them into it by saying, well, what are you thankful for today? Yeah. Let's write these things down, or I might say, well, let me read you what I'm reading. And they're playing with Legos because I'm sitting in their playroom doing my quiet time. They're playing with Legos while I'm doing it. But I try to really not ever force it. I try to make an invitation to join me versus, and Sally Clarkson, I think in her Life-Giving Table book, really focused on making it an invitation to inviting our kids to the table, inviting them into it instead of forcing them into it. So I've really tried to be intentional about that.
That's really very biblical, actually, because I mean, it says that it's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. Mm-hmm. It's not him saying, hey, you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. Repent. You must do these right. things. That's very much not who we see in Christ. We right. do see an invitation. Invitations mm-hmm. to parties, and he accepted invitations, and invitations to come and abide, and never, you must do this.
Right, and in Revelation it says, I stand at the door and knock. So even then, he never forces his way in. He's always asking, welcoming, waiting for an invitation himself.
I love that. So. That's beautiful. So tell us a little bit about how this works in your marriage. How does the balance of, okay, I'm just going to backtrack for a second here. I thought it was mm-hmm. really interesting when you said that your dad was a pastor, but all the faith formation that you experienced came from your mom and not from your dad. Uh-huh. Really interesting. I just wanted to point that out. That was super interesting to me because I think that we think that if dad's not involved, it means that he's not a Christian, but maybe it's just not something that he's thinking about or prioritizing. You know, maybe he's even a pastor and he's just helped to mm-hmm. so busy shepherding other people that he has forgotten about his kids, or he is not interested, or really, I don't know. Who knows why that happens sometimes, right? Anyway, so tell me about mm-hmm. the balance between you and your husband now.
That is actually, it's, besides him actively living it out, because he is like he's much more empathetic than I am and kinder, meaning we have 3 boys. So if they get a boo-boo, I'm like, yep, you're good. because we have 3 boys.
Yeah.
Whereas he is much, oh, are you okay? Do you need something? Do you need a band? I mean, he's much kinder. And so he's really good at living out mm-hmm. how to be kind. I've even learned how to discipline from him because my family discipline was very harsh. And so watching him, even when he goes into the room to discipline them, coming out as friends has been mind-blowing for me. Sometimes I just follow him in there to see how he does it.
Yeah.
But so far as his actual relationship with him, he's a very good dad to live it out. But as far as speaking it and praying with them, it's pretty much 100% me, 0 him. Part of that is just his personality. If you've done the Sacred Pathways, that was really helpful for me in this area because I realized he's contemplative, where he thinks about all of it, but he doesn't actually say it. We don't do Bible time readings together. We don't pray together. It's all in him contemplating it. And so I was like, oh, that's why I can't get him to do any of these things when I work on Sacred Pathways. Also, he's gone a lot. My husband travels a lot for work. And so he's been doing this for 17 years. It's not going to stop anytime soon. And so that would be wishful thinking on my part. And take an act of God, which he's capable of, but it would take an act of God.
Yeah.
So, for instance, my husband traveled to 4 states just last month.
Whoa.
And so he travels a lot for work. And so in that, it also falls to me, too. I try not to put too much on him that I would have to pick up while he's gone. And so that way it would just make it harder on me if I kept picking up stuff every time he left.
Yeah.
And so the boys and I do our routines. If dad's there, he joins in maybe. He doesn't usually even comment when we do around the table stuff. It's just because I'm the talker, obviously. He's much quieter than I am. And so really it's pretty much all me. And then, like I said, he's very good at living it out. And so I use him as an example in that way sometimes. But as far as actually helping them doing anything, it's all me.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
and I like that idea that, you know, you just have the routines and he just joins mm-hmm. in, and it's not because he's a bad Christian, it's because he's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a contemplative. And my husband is very intellectual, so he has actually a lot of questions that I feel like mm-hmm. when my kids are teenagers, they are really going to value his mm-hmm. questions and his thoughtfulness, but they're still at such a concrete level of thinking that sometimes he just feels uncomfortable talking about those things because he's like, we can't talk about, you know, creation stuff right now because I have different views on this, but I don't want to like shatter their faith. They need to have more abstract thinking. They need to be like teenagers before they can think about these kind of things the way that I'm thinking about them. So he doesn't want to hurt their faith by asking all his questions too soon.
No, I know what you mean. Cause like our church did a study probably a year or 2 ago at this point, I have the notes from it, of on creation. And is it 7 days or is it this other time frame? That, and these were reliable authors, well-researched. But I was like, oh, I hadn't thought of that before. And so, yeah, but I tried not to share those with my kids anytime soon because, like you said, they need concrete. One day we can talk about that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They need to construct before they can think about these things in different ways. Like, they just don't have the brain style
to hold that much, to synthesize the information.
You have to trust who they are when they are. Like, you have to watch the brain development too, right? It's not. Anyway, okay. So, do you have any advice, encouragement for moms that want to share Christ with their kids, but maybe they're not sure how to start? Now, we already talked about this a bit when you were talking about prayer, but did you have anything else that you really wanted to share with us?
I think the biggest thing when I was just starting out is I just got those Bible devotional books that on their age level, because there's a lot of good ones out there. If you have younger kids, there's like the Candle Bible for Toddlers, I think is what it's called. If you have middle-aged kids, the there's Jesus Calling for Kids, and there's also the Jesus Storybook that everybody would recommend. I mean, that's a classic.
Yeah.
But if you have older kids, the Action Bible is a really good one. Like, my boys love comics. And so the Action Bible is done by Sergio, who's, like, actually drawn comics for Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. So it's really well done, and it sticks really well to the Bible passages. And so I just found one on their age level. And if you have a Bible bookstore, just walk in and ask and for something in your kid's age level. But that's how we started. We just laid it on the breakfast table, and then we would just do it when we sat down, either at dinner or at breakfast time or something like that. And so we just started really simple with those. Then you can have some of the times those bring up natural conversations on their own. We also do memory verses periodically. And so doing our memory verse does that too. But really ours, again, hangs out at our table. And so it might take us a month to memorize one, but I figure better a month than trying to rush through a whole bunch and it never actually stick and they not learn anything from it. And so I just try to have something where I knew we were going to show up, kind of like you did the habits thing about 6 months, a year ago.
Yeah.
Having that trigger was important to us. And so when we started out, mealtime was our trigger. Nowadays, getting into the car to go to school is our trigger.
Yeah.
But just having one habit and then building on it. Because we didn't do Keys for Kids and Blessings and the prayer all at the same time.
Right.
We started the prayer thing. And then we started the Blessings thing when I found that from you. And then we added Keys for Kids when I found out about that. But we just started with one thing and then built into it. And so if you're not doing anything right now, I would just encourage you to start with one easy thing, whatever floats your boat, prayer, memorizing scripture, a book that's on their age level, and just start there. And then as you get comfortable with that and that's working, then maybe build out from there with other ideas you're hearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly kind of the premise of the growth path in Hope Grown Faith. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, start as a seed. First, you have to realize this is something that's important. And then you get sprouted, and that's when you're starting to develop just one simple habit that you can stick with, like praying blessing or praying in the car or leaving the Bible on the table and picking it up when you see it. So you're starting with just one really simple habit, and then you're becoming rooted and you're growing more of those little sprouts, just like you were talking before. You're growing more little roots. And so maybe you're adding a couple other things on, and then your family really starts to flourish as those become real predominant in your life and they become important. And then your family becomes fruitful in itself and you start dropping little seeds of faith in other people.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole premise of Hope Grown Faith, which you were just talking about there. That's great. And so much of it is what you said is just tied in really well. Pretty cool. So is there anything else that you wanted to share with us before we go?
Probably that two things, I guess. For you personally, you can't introduce your kids to a God you don't know yourself. And so most important for me was, again, spending time in the Word with God myself. And so if you're a season of life where you can have a regular quiet time, just even 15 minutes will do. Because I've had friends say, well, I only have 5 or 10 minutes. Why even start? Well, God can do a lot with your little. I love the story. I think it's in John 6 of the loaves and the fishes, where the little boy brought his loaves to Jesus and he blessed them. And so just bring to God what you have yourself. So if you have 5 minutes to sit down with him, maybe while the baby's asleep or after your kids go to school or what have you, whatever trigger time you have, then do that. But you can't introduce them to a God you don't know yourself. And you don't not have to know him well, especially if you're just a new Christian starting out, but do have those, build those regular habits into you, and then work on building them into your kids. Because that was the number one most influential thing my mom did, was me seeing her spend her quiet time with God. Mm-hmm. She tells me she gave me all these great lectures, and I'm sure she did. But I remember most her own quiet time and her own faithfulness, that I knew she didn't have all the answers, but she knew the God who did. And so you got to know him yourself first before you can start doing that with your kids. And that's why I like your Bible study that you're doing each month on, because those are really, I think they maybe take 3 to 5 minutes, but they're ones where we could spend time with God before our kids got up by ourselves or before they came home from school. And then we could spend 5 minutes during snack time doing that with them. And so it's really easy to bridge that and just use that for both of you right now if you're just starting out.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Yeah. Meant to be used kind of on multiple levels, just for you yourself, or just to share occasionally with your kids, or even, you know, if you're in the flourishing stage, to pass right on to them. But yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, we need God. We can't pass on what we don't have. Absolutely.
Right.
And I remember my mom. I remember her, seeing her on her knees, you know, by her bed with her Bible spread on the bed. Like, those are, I'm sure I didn't see it that often, but it really stuck with me.
It does. It really
sticks
with you.
Knowing that our parents are, you know, loving that and following God themselves. So, okay. Thanks so much, Tara. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Just so you guys, you can connect with Tara in our group, because she's in our group. But if you want to find Tara's writing, if you want to find her Abide book, which is really great and can be really helpful for you, Tara, tell us a little bit about where we can find your online writing.
Okay. So TaraLCole.com is my website that has all the things. Also, Abide is now available for pre-order as an ebook on Amazon. So as of yesterday, I am actually on Amazon. That's kind of exciting. And so you can find it that way. If this is, let me see, this will run right before it. But if you like paperbacks, that will be available October 15th on Amazon. Then I'm on Instagram at Tara L. Cole. You can find me on Instagram. And on Facebook, I'm at, actually I switched names, so it's Over a Cup. It's, you might find it on Facebook as that way, or Tara L. Cole Writer. Is where you'll find me. But Tara L. Cole, search on all the platforms, and that's how you'll find me.
Super. And I'll make sure I leave the links too. So thanks so much for joining us today, Tara.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. We've learned so much, and now I'm going to let you guys go. So thanks for joining us for another episode of Mom Mentor. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Mom Mentor. To join the conversation live, join us in the Hope Grown Faith Facebook group at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each Monday. See you there.